Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions, and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
Hi, this is Professor Chapman. Recently we've been doing some Facebook Live sessions where I've been answering questions from the listeners and participants. What you're about to hear now is some audio of those segments, and I hope they'll be useful for you.
Yeah, there is a adenomyosis. Adenomyosis is when the cells that are in the lining of the womb, so the endometrium, for reasons we don't understand, get buried within the muscle layer of the uterus. They can also go outside of the uterus, and that's when it's called endometriosis. So often endometriosis and adenomyosis do go together. The significance of adenomyosis is very debatable. In severe cases, it probably has some negative effect on fertility and therefore an IUI cycle. In mild cases, and the problem today with clever ultrasound technology, more and more women are being diagnosed with mild adenomyosis. And its significance is still very debatable. If it hasn't been picked up before and they're just finding it now, and if they say it's mild, I'd ignore it. It won't change your outcome for your IUI.
Can you share your thoughts around new IVF technologies such as electronic witnessing systems for tracking sperm, eggs, and embryos, robotic cryopreservation systems, and AI-led tools are being developed to enhance clinical care and operational efficiencies?
Yeah. Okay. Call me a dinosaur, but I am yet to see a major advance with all of these technologies. That said, I think it will come. The use of them in one of the big ones at the moment is a debate around being able to pick the best embryo to put back when we do IVF. And AI systems have been developed that looking at the images over the 5 days of embryo development that appear to be able to pick the best embryo. A randomized controlled trial comparing the scientist, who's the person that normally decides what the best embryo is by looking down the microscope, traded off against an AI system, which has looked at hundreds of thousands of images. Actually, they came out about equal. So I'm not yet convinced it's the way to go. And the other part of it is picking the best embryo is good in the sense that it probably makes the time to pregnancy less. In other words, if you can get the very best embryo that's got the greatest chance of survival and put that back first, you're going to get pregnant then. But if you've got four good embryos and one slightly better than another, you're going to get to the best one anyway on the fourth transfer. So does it really make any difference? In terms of what we call the cumulative pregnancy rate, none of these techniques to pick the best embryo is actually going to make any difference to your chances ultimately once all the embryos are put back. The other applications of modern robotics and microfluidity, there's experimental evidence on some of these that suggests that some improvement. I know the work from UTS in Sydney in relation to sperm is showing great promise in picking the best sperm to inseminate an egg with. But again, most cycles, the sperm are put with the embryo and nature chooses the sperm that's going to penetrate the egg. So it's only in the minority of cases where we're doing the sperm injection technique where those things become important. And perhaps technologies to enhance those samples may have a benefit, but nowhere near is it the universal. The history of IVF is full of claims about particular technologies changing the world. But in what is it now? My 35 years in IVF, there's only been one major advance in my view, which was when now 25 years ago, a guy in Belgium happened to stick a sperm into an egg and we got ICSI. And for men who only had a few sperm, it was a game changer. But in terms of other advances, they've been very minor over the years. It's more about the culture medium and the incubators, which are just gradual improvements, not major steps forward.
And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website www.theivfjourney.com and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey, all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.